This is Patrick Gleason, and you've reached a higher level of Nerdvana.
These are...
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay. Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh.
End of line.
Hello and welcome to the Gamer's Haven podcast. Yet another one of our lovely After Dark episodes. We are down Noah because he is off with his new significant other. So, here we are. So it's me, Jeremy and Nathan, the original...
Trifecta,
the original Three Musketeers. We are here. And so I guess that makes... Noah D'Artagnan. Which one of us is Porthos, Athos, and Aramis?
I'm the fat, lazy one, though.
Yeah, I think we all qualify for the fat, lazy.
So we're all
Porthos.
No, I'll be Athos then.
You're angry, so you'd be Athos.
Yeah, I'm Athos.
So I guess that makes me Aramis, I guess, yeah. Or Porthos. Which one? Well, Aramis is the ladies' man.
That would be Jeremy.
Yeah. Ah! I'm gonna go with Jeremy on that.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you are Aramis.
You're Aramis.
Okay, I'll be
I'm Athos,
Aramis,
the angry one.
Wait,
you also want to become a priest.
This is not a...
I did not say a priest of what, exactly.
Priest of love.
Blood for the blood god.
A priest of love and the blood god.
Skull for the skull throne. Blood for the blood god. Oh, gosh. We have been busy, obviously. We've been eating crab. We had a crab bake tonight.
We had lots of crab and gave everybody crab.
They ate crab.
Tasty.
I am
tasty crabs for the crab god.
I am not a crustaceivore, so I did not partake.
Whew.
Which was good for them, because it meant that everybody was actually able to fill up on crab, because if I had gotten involved, there wouldn't have been enough.
We had crab everywhere. There's crab on the ceiling.
Crabs everywhere. Everyone had crabs.
Except me.
Everyone has
crabs. So it starts when you know, Jeremy tosses off sailors.
I toss off the sailors and
especially
have
those Russian sailors.
Oh, totally, yeah,
totally tossing
the
Russian sailors off, you know.
Those Russian sailors, though, they're, you know, they're a little whiffy.
So, you know, there isn't a really good magazine, I've noticed, on... Because I got me a new tablet. And they have their Play Store, and I'm looking for a gaming magazine. But gaming,
there isn't one.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, there is the Gygax magazine, but it's not in the Play Store.
No, that's actually through the.
Yeah, it's an actual mail.
It's,
you can get PDF and mail. Copies.
You should be able to get the. You should be able to get an EPUB version through Kindle or through the Kindle.
Yeah.
The Kindle book reader.
But I was hoping that there would be something else, and that's kind of sad. There isn't. Something that...
Well, unfortunately, magazines and books through the actual Play Store are still relatively thin on the ground.
Yeah, and also, they just... I mean, when you say games, I guess, they just immediately think...
They immediately assume that you're talking about video games.
Video games. Now, there is Comic Heroes, but...
Is actually supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. I just don't... I don't know, it's kind of... Kind of slim pickings, I've noticed.
Which one, though?
Just in the Play Store, there's. I'm looking for some sort of magazine, but...
He's like me. He went with Android.
I remember magazines. I have an Android phone.
Yeah, no, but for his tablet. He went with an Android instead of an iTablet.
I would have gone with one, but I didn't have to pay for mine.
Yeah.
So I got an iPad.
Yeah. And
which is fine.
There's nothing... And, you know, as much as I have problems with their walled garden approach, there's nothing wrong with the iPad. There's nothing wrong with the iPhone. I'm done working with them because I've trained a bunch of people on how to use them. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much of that you can stand before you go, you know what, if you can't figure this out, I have no idea how to help you.
That is true.
It doesn't get any more simplistic than the iPad or the iPhone. I mean, they're designed specifically for people who don't understand technology.
I just didn't
them.
Really like them when I was looking at tablets. No, I just was kind of like,
my problem with the new
price
one
compared to what I could get.
My problem with the new one is although it's fast and has a 64-bit architecture, there's nothing that utilizes the architecture. There's nothing that utilizes the RAM, and it's still the display model they had at least was kind of. It wasn't bad. It was just it didn't. What's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't smooth in its mm-hmm. in its transitions, which just freaked me out because that was the one thing that I always loved about my brother's iPad when I play with it is that it was like, oh, you went from one thing to the other. It's just smooth as buttery soap. And this was like, give me a moment. Okay, I'm there. I was like, my tablet's smoother than that. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
I don't know if someone put something on it or if it's just the way they've got it set up, but. As far as I know, they're not supposed to do that.
Which, the iPads?
Yeah, the new iPads. The iPad Airs are supposed to be, like, smooth as silk.
Yeah, I have an iPad 3, and it's good. It gets a little jumpy now with the new OS, but that happens. I expect that to happen with every OS. Yeah.
And Android released their new 4.3.3, is it? What's it called? 4.3.7,
oh my God,
KitKat. And the only thing that makes me excited about it is the fact that actually KitKat, the company that makes KitKats, is actually making Android KitKats that you can buy at the grocery store. They look like a little droid made out of KitKats.
That's kind of cool.
I want a bunch of them because I want to eat the Android.
I just unfortunately can't find a good. I mean, I don't know. I don't need.
There are a lot of good RPGs though on the tablet market. Take, for instance, one that's coming out, it's not out yet, but Wasteland 2 will be out on the iPad and the Android. Bard's Tale.
Yeah, Bard's Tale is out. I haven't even actually played it yet.
Baldur's Gate is coming out.
Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, it's already out on the iPad. It's coming out on the Android.
Actually, one that people should pick up is just Pen and Paper Plus One from Behold Studios. It's like $2. It's Knights of Pen and Paper Plus One Edition. And it's fun. It's really, really fun. So if you want an old school feel,
it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, yeah, you do have to get through the game a little bit. But as you decorate the gaming room, you get more stuff. It kind of allows you to somewhat cheat. Like certain things will give you a +2% on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You could change out your GM. You can get, instead of Yoda, you can get Yoga. He does certain stuff differently. You can get a different table that does different things. It's just a fun little game. Now, the other one, and this was one that you said that you knew about, was the Magicka.
Yeah. It's actually, I own the desktop version, which is fun and hilarious with its fake, like, Swedish-style voice. It's like the Swedish chef when they talk.
It looks cool. I mean, Wizards of the Square tablet.
That's the new one.
Yeah, and it looks fun.
And I have not played the new one. It's supposed to be fun. One that I actually really like. It's incredibly hard, and unfortunately, when I first got it, it did not work well with my tablet, and so I rated it accordingly. But the developers of it have gone out of their way to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tales of Illyria. And I watched a show called Matt Chat done by Dr. Matt Barton up out of he's in Minnesota, I believe. He's in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Okay.
He's a professor up there. And he does a show called Matt Chat on YouTube every Sunday. And he talked about it. And it looked so cool, so I picked it up. And I had nothing but problems. I was playing casual and I was getting my ass handed to me by everything. I had my character maxed out as best as I could, and it was just like I couldn't win a fight. Because and the thing is, it's supposed to, every time you lose a fight, you could reload the fight, and they're supposed to be easier.
Right.
I wasn't seeing that. It was like I was fighting the same fight 12 times, and so I posted, a long review on what I'd encountered and gave it a 1. And they literally contacted me and started asking me questions. I was pointing out specifically where I was having issues, and they went in and were looking at it and were like, oh, wow, yeah, we have the difficulty cranked up really, really high on the casual. Maybe we should turn that down,
Yeah.
But once they fixed some of the issues I was having, and I still have a weird bug that pops up on occasion that they're working on, the game is, it's a solid 4 stars.
That's cool.
It uses classic hand-drawn art. It's beautiful to look at.
That's one thing I've noticed
about... It's tactical, it does real time combat, cool. But it's tactical. You can pause at any point, select your person, and select what they do. So the combat is actually quite fun. It's $2 or $3. It's cheap as chips. It's like you can't pass up on it. And I played it for about 70 hours before I finished it.
I picked up the Humble Bundle, and I got 10 games out of it.
The Humble Bundle?
Yeah, for Android. Though a couple of the games actually would be better on my computer. So I only downloaded a few of them from Android.
Yeah.
But one of them I got was The Bard's Tale, which was specifically for
the Android version. Is that the old school Bard's Tale?
Yeah, it has the original three, and then it has...
Oh, right. But it's for the Android. And then also...
Yeah. I noticed the Android has a lot of the older...
Yeah.
I think it's because, Apple has such a...
right.
Are such dicks about
But something else
they're not,
that I got...
They're not dicks. They're just... Their security requirements, they put them much higher
than... They're much stricter.
Google's starting to crack down on all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Well, this was kind of a random one, but I had played the board game
before. Like, you can get on your tablets or Pawn Masters.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this was Ticket to Ride. This was part of the Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm.
And I played that board game, and that's a fun board game.
Yeah,
so
I've got
the tablet.
Talisman Electronics or Digital Edition.
Yeah, Talisman Digital Edition is on Steam.
Yeah, it's coming out on the iPad and the Android OS.
Yeah.
Because
current release date for Talisman Digital Edition is January 2014.
Mm-hmm. Now that would be nice.
But it's going to be coming out on... it's out now on Steam Early Access.
Yeah, which means it's still in beta or
mm-hmm.
alpha.
Yeah,
but you can still.
But
it's like Might and Magic 10.
But presumably, the Talisman Prologue they put out is available on like iPhone and iPad and the Android. So I mean, they're gonna.
Yeah,
it'll be
on
the Android, which is awesome.
Like I said, Wasteland 2 is coming. Also, Torment, Tides of Numenera, Project Eternity. But these are months out. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just released the closed beta for Wasteland 2,
mm-hmm.
and oh my god, does it look awesome! If you have not seen Wasteland 2, those of you that are old school gamers like us, if you ever played Fallout 1 or Fallout 2 by Interplay, expect Fallout 1 or Fallout 2 with a different combat system, but with the same style of graphics with a party. It's awesome. And they also announced that when they release that, they're going to release an enhanced graphic-enhanced, sound-enhanced version of Wasteland
mm-hmm.
with updated graphics, and it looks sweet, too. So, and I was looking at the website, NXile Studios, the other day, and it's like, you can still get a boxed retail copy of Wasteland 2 for $60, and... I have never thought so hard about picking up a boxed copy of a game in so long.
Now,
usually it's like, oh, I'll just get it on Steam when it goes on sale for $10. And this one was like,
The only thing that I run into, though, is I actually read the stuff for the downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And while my tablet is not a phone, so there's certain things I don't care about, there are certain things that will pop up in what it wants to do.
And you go,
and
wait
I'm
a
like,
minute.
Wait, why do you need this? And I will be like, that game looks fun, but I'm not going to download it.
Because it requires access to certain
access
aspects.
Certain things. And I'm like, no, you don't need access to that.
No. I have a lot of games that do that, but the thing is I have something I downloaded that's called the Sandbox tool. So basically what I do is I take a chunk of the space on my tablet and I turn it into an area where I can put any program like that, and it basically does virtualization so that it thinks it's getting access to those things and it doesn't allow it access outside of the toolbox.
Huh. That's good to know.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the program. I have to look when I get home. But it's one of the things I picked up along with like my port sniffing tool and my data intrusion sniffing tool, the tool that looks for when you're on like on a public Wi-Fi, if anybody's doing any packet sniffing or anything like that, looking to steal data. I have a tool that looks for that, and then it'll tell you the IP address and the actual name of the machine, if it's got a name. And pretty much looking around, you can very quickly identify who is actually attempting to do data theft.
Right.
And then you can, you know.
Well, it's just like, some of the stuff is just, it's like, oh, that would be a really cool game. But,
yeah.
You know, for those of us...
I was kind of surprised with the requirements for Shadowrun Returns on the tablet, what access it wants. That shocked me. But... It's worth it because Shadowrun Returns is freaking sweet.
Yeah,
it's worth every penny it costs. I think it's $15.
The Humble Bundle came with Oregon Trail.
Yeah, that's much better on a tablet than it is on the computer. I hated the controls on the computer. But
yeah,
but with your fingers, it makes sense.
Anodyne.
Anodyne is good.
Mm-hmm. Anomaly Korea. I don't really know much about
that one.
Broken Sword Director's Cut,
which is an awesome old school point and click adventure.
Greed Core.
Don't know that one.
Incredipede.
Incredipede is awesome. You have like this basic shape, and you're given pieces, and you have to make something that's ambulatory so it can walk across the level.
Sweet.
And there'll be different. It's got different puzzles, like, oh, there's a pit here, so you have to make the Incredipede to where it somehow can get across the pit without falling into the pit and dying to get to the end of the level.
Obviously, Bard's Tale, Ticket to Ride, and I forgot to download this one, so I'm going to download it. Worms 2 Armageddon.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, Worms 2 Armageddon is awesome.
When at the last Steam sale, we picked up a 4-pack of the latest Worms games, mm-hmm. sent a copy to Ethan, a copy to Andre and Becca and I, and we still have yet to play a 4-player multiplayer match.
Yeah.
Even though you've got that computer set up.
Having a new small human in the...
Yeah, that makes it very hard.
Makes it difficult. Yes, my wife popped since the last episode, and we have a beautiful baby daughter. Her name is Aria Louise, and she's awesome. We love her.
Yeah, she's adorable.
She is adorable.
But eventually, we will sit down and play some Steam games, because...
We will. That's not fun.
Because we really need to, and we should do like Skype and Feedburner so we can record our conversation while we're playing.
Yep.
Because I think people will get a kick out of it.
Yep. The you guys talk a lot of video games, and mark it on your calendars. I actually played and finished a video game.
Whoa. Batman.
Arkham City. Batman Arkham
Sweet.
City.
Good job.
Now I beat the Batman portion. After that,
there's the Catwoman
and
stuff,
which I haven't done yet.
Yeah,
I've played a bit as Catwoman, but obviously my time is limited. But it was very fun. I really, really enjoyed the game. I want to play some Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum is great. Arkham Origins.
You know, sometimes a good way to unwind is to punch people as Batman.
That's true.
You know, always be yourself unless you can be Batman. Always be Batman.
You know what the third biggest complaint I've heard about Arkham Origins is?
What's that?
The voice actor for Batman.
Yeah.
Everyone says the guy that they got to do the Joker is fantastic, but everybody's like, the guy
I have no intention of
not
purchasing it or any video game because I know Noah's going to buy it at some point, so I don't have to. That's been the way I've lived my life with video games, really.
Yeah.
I'll play it. I mean, Arkham City was awesome. It was a great game. Yeah. I mean, everyone at this point knows that it's a great game, so there's no point in me reviewing it or anything.
Right.
Like that. I'm going to go back and play some Arkham Asylum, stuff like that, play some of that. Because, I mean, they're good old-fashioned, fun Batman being a badass games. And from what I understand about Arkham Origins, it's more of the same. It's, you know, don't fix it if it ain't broke mentality.
Right.
The sad thing is that it is busted. It's broken so bad it's not even funny. Apparently, from the people that are doing reviews, the PC version is so buggy that
that on PC anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But apparently the PC version is so buggy, there are parts of the Riddler quests that you can't pass, the Enigma quests, because you can't actually complete the puzzle because the game's broken. And that sucks. And that's one of those things that always just drives me up the frickin' wall is that the computer versions are always, it's like, it's just a half-assed attempt to shove it out there and someone buys it.
You know, and that's been a progressive thing, you know. Nowadays, they make their money on the consoles, and that's the giant market. And the PC release is really an afterthought at this point. And, you know, I remember a time when it was vice versa. So the console version was an afterthought type of thing.
Yeah,
well, the PC was the platform, but...
The nice thing about that, though, is you have indie developers, though, that get to put out fun stuff.
Yeah,
that is nice what we're seeing, you know,
It's the resurrection of, like, the old days when it comes to the development of the games, the big studios.
Well, then we're seeing new adaptations of old games, which is fantastic.
So have you seen that new one that came out on GOG just recently? Let me find the name of it. Where is it? Right here. It's called... Oh, where'd you go? Darn it. Oh, it's gone now. there's a new game that just came out. It's a strategy game, I think. Battle Worlds Chronos.
Mm-hmm.
Just came out. It is a hex-based, turn-based military combat game, like with tanks and...
That's cool.
And it's a sci-fi game, but it is so freaking cool.
And I do have this for the next game, by the way.
Oop. Carpet bagger here.
I have a carpet bagger name placard now for my... So people know...
But no, Battle World Chronos, if you like the old, like,
that's
the
awesome.
Old SSI hex map style
it's
combat
seven
games,
bucks.
Battle games, Battle World Chronos is fantastic. It's in the same vein with beautiful graphics, and it's like $25, so it's one of those, why are you not buying this sort of thing?
Shut up and take my money!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also, GOG also released Wing Commander Prophecy Gold, Rogue Trooper, and...
Rogue Trooper?
Yeah. Do you remember Rogue Trooper?
I remember Rogue
Terrible
Trooper.
Game. And Wasteland, the original edition, the classic original.
That make my brother happy.
Yeah. So, by NXL Entertainment. That's just awesome.
Well, on another kind of a random note, I was able to get in on the Bones 2.
I am.
I
thought about getting in on it, but I'm so behind on miniature
right.
painting and I was just like, you know, it would be really just a waste of money at this point.
The thing, well, no, I understand, but I just look at them and I'm like, the new way they're doing them
uh-huh.
is awesome, and I didn't get the Kraken I wanted. Instead, they had a whole set. It was the dragon on a tower with an adventuring party.
That
it's
is awesome.
Awesome.
Nice.
It really is. So I'm waiting. I think they said it'll be next December. Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So
Cyan, the people who did Myst, are doing a new game. They just popped up a Kickstarter, speaking of Kickstarters. And if you haven't taken a look at the video for the graphics, holy cow. It uses the new Unreal 4 engine.
Mm-hmm.
It looks gorgeous. I have no idea what the game's about. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's like, it's basically about someone being abducted by aliens or whatnot
mm-hmm.
and being put to another place. But it's by Cyan Games. Abduction. It's actually called Abduction. Obductition by Cyan Incorporated. And it looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And they redid my favorite part of whenever you kick on Myst, I could hear this from across the house when that do 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 with the little like periscope type thing.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they redid it and it's gorgeous. And pause because otherwise we're gonna run out of repair use slot. Pause.
Oh, nobody cares.
But it that is a childhood memory right there for me.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Myst when it came out. I hated it. It drove me nuts, but I did beat it.
I wonder if there's a tablet version of HeroQuest.
Of the board game?
Yeah.
I have not seen it. That does not mean it doesn't exist.
There is one, but it's not HeroQuest because HeroQuest is, you know, copyrighted. I downloaded one on my iPad that actually was a lot of fun. I can't remember its name now. It's like a Dark Quest or something like that. And it's I think it's Dark. Yeah, it's Dark Quest.
Dark Quest.
To give you an idea, it's Hero Quest with the serial numbers filed off. but yeah, it's on the tablet. It's on you can get it on Google Play.
Did you see the new game called Star Wars Tiny Death Star?
Yeah, I was looking at that.
How much is it?
Unfortunately, it only got 3 stars.
It's got 4 so far.
Did it go up?
It's got 4 stars, 1,902 reviews, 4 stars. Average rating is 3.8.
3.8, yeah. I was kind of looking at that going, well...
Good game with a glitch.
I don't know. It looks like one of those I might play for a little while and then...
I'm going to get it. It looks like it's free.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is free.
I don't...
It's not by LucasArts. LucasArts only exists in name now. Stop trying to lie to us.
It's from Disney. from Disney Mogul.
It says LucasArts here.
Yeah, but if you read the description even farther, it says from Disney Mogul in partnership with LucasArts and Nimblebit.
Nimblebit's the one that created
it. The makers
it.
Of Tiny Tower.
Which is why it looks like Tiny Tower with the Death Star.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Because if you haven't played Tiny Tower, that's one you have to pick up. Because it is awesome. World War Z, the unrated version. Yes. Yesterday we were watching TV, Becca and I, and I pointed something out to her. We were watching a commercial pop up. It's like, own the director's cut version now. It's like, and this is why I didn't buy The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With an additional 35 minutes of footage. Yep.
Did they put another 35 minutes of footage into that?
That's like 4 hours long.
That's why my mom waits, because she wants the director's cut. And I was like, that's cool.
Yes, and because you know that they're going to put one out.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, come on, guys. It's also why we haven't bought, like, Hunger Games on Blu-ray, because I know eventually they're going to put out a big box set of all of them. And I'm like, all right.
I haven't seen or read Hunger Games. I just know the concept.
I've read Hunger Games.
I've seen the movie.
I was like, well, how is there a number two? Didn't they kill each other?
No.
And then,
no. You have to see it.
The movie's good. The movie's not bad. The books are good. I like the second book better.
Catching Fire was the best book
in the series, and it's only 3 books, which is nice. Yes. And they're quick reads.
So there's no sparkly vampires.
God, no. They're leaps and bounds better than sparkly vampires and actually, you know.
I just don't trust any of that stuff anymore.
No, they're good. They're good. Beth and I thoroughly enjoyed them. I've been reading Beth, started Beth on the Dresden Files books. We kind of got stalled because, you know, baby arrived. But we made it through the first book and about halfway through the second book right now. And the second book is easily one of my favorites. Full Moon is great.
Yeah, Full Moon is fantastic. The werewolf one.
I know Rowan and Noah have gotten, or Rowan has gotten Noah very much into Percy Jackson.
I've been kind of interested because it just looks neat. I just, again, don't quite trust it.
Noah has also, Noah went to see the new movie with Ro, took her to see the new movie, and he came back and confided in us, if those movies are terrible.
Yeah, the first one wasn't very good either.
Because, you know, everyone knows Logan Larman couldn't act with a paper bag, so, yeah.
That's really sad that the only thing that made people really want to go see it was that Nathan Fillion was, like, Poseidon.
Oh, no, he's Apollo.
Apollo.
Oh, no, Hermes. Sorry, Hermes.
That's the whole reason a lot of the people I know want to see. Like, Nathan Fillion's in it. I have to go see it. Support Nathan Fillion.
I dig Nathan Fillion. But Nathan Fillion is also doing perfectly fine with Castle.
He
doesn't need our help.
Castle is not going anywhere.
There are very few actors that will get my ass into a theater just because they're in it. And two of them being really Bryan Cranston and... Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Beth and I did go out and we did see Don John, which was really good. We're going to be seeing Thor Dark World tomorrow. We're recording on the November 8th right now. So Thor Dark World just came out.
It seems to be getting decent reviews.
Yeah, even my sister liked it, and she hates everything. So.
Well, I'm a little iffy because I liked the premise of the first... Thor movie. I was disappointed with pretty much the villain for a vast chunk of the movie was that giant robot thing.
Oh, the Destroyer?
Yeah. And I was like, I wanted to see Thor
vast
Loki.
Chunk of the movie, I think, is a bit stretching it.
Well, when it comes to villain fights, he was like the one big fight.
Well, yeah.
And that kind of disappointed because I wanted to see, you know, Thor and Loki beating the crap out of each other more.
Then you got Avengers.
Yeah.
Then hopefully that satisfied some, you know, the good fights.
Yeah, that did.
Of your,
and the whole...
yes.
Puny God.
Put out the Loki.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Eric, Kelly, and Eunice went and saw the marathon that AMC did, where they showed Thor, Avengers, and then Thor 2.
Oh dear, I don't think I can handle that.
So there's that. I'm looking forward to that. But unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to get out and see. Did not get a chance to get out and see like Riddick. Didn't get to see that.
I did. Well, we wanted to go see Machete Kills, and it's like
I didn't get to see that.
It's gone.
Yeah, I was in theaters for about an hour.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see Kick-Ass 2.
But a lot of people say that you didn't really miss anything with that, apparently.
I heard it was the first.
Which kind of sucks, because
the first movie is better than my movie, so I don't know.
Well, that was a movie that I hope they didn't make a second one, but I probably will see the second one.
I love the first one. Kick-Ass is great.
Yeah, Kick-Ass.
I was really annoyed I didn't get a chance to go see Elysium, but I really wanted to see Elysium. Because I love District 9.
Apparently it's nowhere near as good as District 9 as whatever.
Yeah, but I really like the director Neil Blomkamp, and I really like not Matt Damon, the guy who was in District 9. He's also in Elysium. He's a bad guy.
Yes, the guy that was also in
A-Team. Which I got to show Jeremy. Jeremy had not seen A-Team.
You had not seen A-Team.
I had not.
A-Team.
It's awesome.
And it's epic awesomeness.
I can't remember his name, but his first movie was District 9, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, that was his first movie
ever. He was incredible in that movie.
Yes. Table-wise, the superhero game just hit issue 30. So we're actually right at where Deadlands was. So, I mean, Deadlands did 30 episodes, and now Superheroes is at 30 episodes, so. I find that to be amusing and nice.
Well, on other news, they put out for 5e, and you can look at the site for that, but they threw out, they did a 25-hour charity game.
Uh-huh.
And from that charity game, you got to see a potential sorcerer and warlock. And they look kind of interesting. I kind of was liking what they did. And they actually did a Legend in Lore.
I haven't followed 5e at all. So
yeah, that's
fine. No, and it's not by I.O.
I
don't want to look at it. I just haven't had the time.
The Legend in Lore, and they did a questions thing on the Warlock. And the Warlock is looking pretty neat from what they've talked about. The game itself is both neat, and there's some things I'm kind of weirded out by.
Mm-hmm.
The skill system is a bit weird for me. It has proficiencies, which are a bit weird. I'm not going to go in depth just because it's odd.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that the game is, or the playtest, the playtest is over. So the one thing that's kind of bringing up is all the different stuff that people are thinking about doing, because there was quite a bit of discussion about character creation and when should you give stat bonuses? Should you give stat bonuses in the race, in the class, or should you not give them at all? Should you give random stat bonuses? You know, so on and so on. And, you know, something looking at after you dig through the crap on the forums and the crazy on the forums, you get to a lot.
So that hasn't changed.
Yeah, that hasn't changed. But you do find a lot of people who are, even if they're not professional game designers, they have good ideas, and you can tell that they're passionate about it. And so you start thinking about your own games and what you kind of would like, you know, in your games. And you kind of go, okay, well, you know, if I took out this and put this in, I could open up so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I took out racial stat bonuses and instead put it into everybody rolls your 3d6 and you get 3 stat bonuses, and that doesn't matter what race you are, that opens up what races you can be, because the GM doesn't have to sit there and decide, okay, well, this race is stronger, this race is faster, this race is more dexterous. Instead, you do things like a small character has disadvantage on strength checks. A large character has advantage on strength checks, but stealth checks,
the large character takes
a penalty or a disadvantage, and so on. So it opens up a lot of things. You can have a centaur, not worry about stat bonuses, because you're getting them at character creation, and everybody gets the same. You get whatever the number you decide on, and they can put them anywhere. It's not dependent on their race. And so people can go, I want to play an elf. And the elf isn't specifically set up so he's only good as a mage, or he's only good as whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one problem with stat bonuses for a race. Now, class is different. That's the one thing that, looking at the forums and stuff, you kind of go, wait, bonuses for stats in a class is different. Because if you choose a fighter, well,
fighter's going to have a bonus.
You are going to have a bonus to strength, bonus to cost, something like that. But if I play a dwarf, maybe I want my dwarf to be very charismatic. And if I have a stat bonus of +3, and my GM is limited to +2 max to something, well, I could put +2 in my charisma. Okay, great. So it opened up my eyes in character creation. It opened up my eyes on, okay, I don't have to limit, because how many times have I sat down and somebody said, I want to play this race, but this race is really good for this class, instead mm-hmm. of, I want to play this race. I want to play this class. Oh, okay. They don't have these specific stat bonuses. Mm-hmm. It opens up everything. So instead, you can play a halfling. Yeah, he's not very good at lifting stuff up, but who cares? He can still have an 18 strength mm-hmm. in combat still.
Yeah.
Just for lifting crap, pushing crap, those types of things. So I really kind of am enjoying some of the things on the forum, even if a lot of it's not coming from WotC. I will go on and just dig through the other people's stuff for little pieces like that. And then it helps me think so I can throw stuff together on my own. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of thinking for my own D&D character creation on what I'm going to do and still be able to play D&D however I want. So it's neat. It's a different way. I've never really thought of character creation. It kind of opens things up. I think it makes mm-hmm. characters a little bit freer. It also made me think about, what are they called? Life paths. And I haven't found the good one that I know exists. For characters and backgrounds, where mm-hmm. basically you start a character at zero level. They play their zero level up to a certain point. When they reach first level, you go, okay, guys, pick how many years it takes you to achieve first level, your training. They say 3. Okay. Here's your life path chart. Let's roll on this. Good thing, bad thing, good thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. They get some bonuses based on that. It's nothing that's going to really mess with them too much, but you might be...
Yeah, character creation like that always reminds me of Cyberpunk.
Yes, and I know for a fact, years ago, I had a life path thing like that, mm-hmm. but it was meant for fantasy games. So, and 5e also has some very nice backgrounds, which give you some bonuses, but also are really good for the role-playing. And that's something I'm kind of liking, too. Additionally, I found a really neat article from someone that was for 4e, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was about skills. Some guy was like, I don't like how the skills are in 4e. So he came up with 3 different ways to do skills in 4e. And he brought in the skills. And he made one of them work kind of like 3e. One worked like a cross between 4e plus a little bit of 3e. And then one was kind of a quasi. And I read that, and I'm like, you know what? This third version would work in 5e. It would give you the kind of a more advanced skill list, but still be easy enough to function in a simple, open-ended game. So not as crunchy as 3.5 or Pathfinder, but still fun enough so the people that like skills can actually run with the game. Because right now, 5e is really open-ended with skills. Really, really open-ended. Too open-ended for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of their proficiencies is mounts, which seems kind of dumb to me, but I understand what they're trying to do. So it's just, it's really interesting. I think the 5e game will be neat. There's some things I don't like. There's some things I think are really cool. Spellcasters are really nice. Your mage actually is fun again, but not... But it's still a mage. It still feels like you're playing a 3... It feels like you're playing an old-school mage, but you don't ever run out of magic, which is nice. We'll see about other classes. And they're also trying to put in other races, like Dragonborn are in there, Warforged are in there. All these cool races are still in there. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to messing around with stuff. So I think it's going to be fun. I'm not sure what Pathfinder is going to do with it. I think they're going to keep just doing their thing, but we'll see. So.
Excellent. Nathan, what else have you been up to?
Me? Mm-hmm. Working. Lots and lots and lots of working.
Yes, yes. That's one thing we all have been doing. It's working.
A lot.
Yeah, working. We get the occasional game in here and there. I mean, Jeremy and I were able to play the producer's top billing game, or the top billing game.
Yeah, that was the week before last when we were hoping to do the podcast, but after cleaning the house all day and stuff to get ready for the Halloween party, I was so exhausted. I crashed on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't make it. We had our Halloween party again, like we do most years. So.
That was a lot of fun.
It was good. I desperately tried to get Pacific Rim to watch for the second movie, but it just kept getting interrupted and kept getting interrupted. It was just like, you know what?
Well,
I'm gonna have to turn it off.
We had just watched it with Noah like two nights before, so. You know, and I like Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is all right. It's not one I'm going to rush out and buy by any means.
I got it for sale on Blu-ray for like $10, so I wasn't out anything massive.
We did get Iron Man 3.
So and, pick that up.
The Lion King on Blu-ray. As we have determined that our collection of Disney films is sad.
Yeah,
and with
the baby,
you need more.
Pretty much every Blu-ray release that Disney has done for their animation, we have.
Mm-hmm. And that's well, good.
The only one we're missing right now is
back in the vault.
Yeah. The only one we're missing so far.
So I wanted to get Lion King right now because it's still available.
The only one we're missing right now that we don't have is The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
But we have all the other ones.
Didn't The Little Mermaid just come out?
Just came out in October.
So it'll be out for another couple of years at least.
No.
So.
9 months. They released them for 9 months and they put them back in the vault.
When did Lion King come out then?
Lion King came out in July.
Really? Oh, okay.
Or June or July, because we picked it up when it first came out.
It's still available. I know we missed the boat on, like, I think Sleeping Beauty is back in the vault.
It'll come back.
We have Sleeping Beauty.
But yeah, not for another 10 years.
Yeah. No, did you know that they put Star Wars in the vault?
I don't really mind that.
I was surprised.
I've got the big giant Blu-rays into that already.
We never got around to buying it. By the time we got around to buying it, it was gone. Pulled it off the shelves.
Yeah. They'll release it again. But
yeah,
when the next movie comes out, they'll push those back out. And you'll get another edition. Because,
you can also find them anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I look around, I'm sure I can find a used copy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I've been pretty much, I have built all the hardware. Now I just need to do all the cabinetry work. I don't know if I mentioned it the last time we podcasted, but I'm building an arcade cabinet.
You did not mention that last time.
I'm building an arcade game cabinet, and all the hardware is done and tested and working.
Sweet.
The controls work. I just need to build the cabinet. Once the cabinetry is done, I just got to put everything together. It's kind of hard to get the plywood to do the size for the cabinet when you have a car that's smaller than the 4x8 plywood sheet.
Yeah, that does become...
If you strap down 4x8 plywood sheets to the top of my car and a strong gust comes along, my car will sail away.
Your car would end up in Nebraska.
Yeah. So it's been very, very tough. And that's what I'm stuck at right now. I just need the plywood. I've got the design done.
Yeah.
The cabinet design is done. All I got to do is transfer the design to the actual plywood and then cut the plywood out and go from there. And I'm not having any luck getting that taken care of. But on top of that,
at some point I need to borrow a circular saw from somebody.
I have one. Don't worry, you can borrow it. It's a 6.5-inch or 7-inch blade. Just please be careful with it because it is extremely dangerous.
Well, yeah. I was going to use it to cut up dead hookers, but
there you go.
Well, as long as they're dead, that's okay. Just be careful that you don't cut up anybody that's alive.
Well,
you know,
no, of course not. That would be irresponsible.
That would be.
But
excuse me.
No, I got all the tools I need. I just need plywood. The plywood's the hardest part because we don't have a truck. We're all very, you know, ecologically minded. So it's like we drive small cars that are efficient, that get good gas mileage. Every one of us. I mean, so it's, you know, the only person I know that has a vehicle that's large enough to get the plywood is my stepfather. And unfortunately, he's just been extremely busy.
Mm-hmm. That happens. That happens. Yeah.
And so it's like I'm stuck. But the other thing is for my wife's birthday and her Christmas present, I bought her a Dance Maniacs machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to arrive next week. So
essentially you're turning your garage into a...
No, it's not going to be in the garage. It's actually going to be in the living room.
You're turning your living room into an arcade. Yeah,
it'll be turned off for the most part until she wants to play. It only takes about 3 minutes to boot. Once I get my other machine, the arcade machine I'm building built, it takes like 5 seconds to boot. So you mm-hmm. turn it on, there you go. But
very nice.
It's
very
just...
Nice. Living the geek dream. The geek video game dream.
Well, what's crazy is that I looked at the cabinet I'm duplicating and looked at actually buying a real one.
Uh-huh.
And to build one, even though I had to buy all the tools and crap, because I didn't have a Dremel, or not a Dremel, I didn't have a router,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have an Orville sander for sanding the wood.
Well, you have a router, it's just not the right kind of router. You can try using it, but it doesn't really work too well.
Yeah. Exactly. Even buying the tools and stuff, I've only spent like $600 on building it, and buying a cabinet's over $4,000. So,
well, there you go.
I mean, and the thing is it's not hard to do it. You just have to be meticulous. And
what's you have to be patient.
Yeah. What's right. The one thing that gets me in trouble all the time is I am extreme stickler for detail.
You are.
Yes. And so it gets me in a lot of trouble. It's like, Nathan, just... No, I got to make sure this is exactly... Just do it. No, it's got to be perfectly right. It's got to be exactly like how I want it. Otherwise, I'm not going to like it. Just do it. So, the design is done. I just need to get it put together. And once I get the first side cut... The first side is the hard part. Once you get the first side done, the second side, you take your little router,
mm-hmm.
and you put a guide bit, what's called an edging bit. You take a guide bit. It's got a little wheel on the bottom of it that sets along the edge, and there's the cutting bit. And you set it to the height, so it's just, the wheel sits just right there where the bottom sheet is. And you put your cut side on the bottom, and your uncut side on the top. And then you hook everything, you clamp everything down, and then you just route out the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So the second side takes however long it takes you to route to the plywood. And 3/4-inch plywood with a 2.5-horse router is going to take a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I look forward to seeing it when it's all done.
Yeah, you know? that's what everyone keeps saying. Like, you got to take pictures. You got to show us what you're working on. I'm like, yeah, I will. As soon as I get working on it again.
Pictures in progress.
Pictures in progress, yeah.
Heck, you can post them on the website.
Yeah, post them where people can see them. I got to get some Lexan. Because I got some different parts of the machine that are actually covered. Like, the screen actually is behind an acrylic sheet so that mm-hmm. the screen doesn't get damaged. And the screen is, you know, a massive 32-inch TV, so... No one's going to complain that they can't see the game. Because you're 12 inches, or you're 18 inches away from a 32-inch widescreen.
Is it a CRT?
No, it's an LCD.
It's an LCD? That's nice. LCD.
The cabinet's only, at its widest point, it's only 30 inches wide.
Deep. Oh, nice.
Width-wise, it's 31.5 inches wide by 30 inches deep by...
Probably the biggest expenditure is going to be the TV, I would guess.
No, plywood.
Really? Oh, all of the...
The 32-inch LCD TV we bought was on sale mm-hmm. and was a clearance model. So it had clearanced and on sale. So we ended up getting the 32-inch TV. It's a Westinghouse. It's not anything spectacular.
No, it doesn't need to be.
But it was $130. The plywood, we need 4 sheets, a 4-foot by 8-foot. They're $35 a piece.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it's like $150 for the plywood. That's the most expensive thing, is the plywood. And... I got to get some 1x2s for cutting strips for Bryant.
But that's a nice plywood. Like that. So
yeah, that's cabinet. It has to be cabinet grade, BC grade plywood. Otherwise, the air gaps and stuff will be so bad that it won't work.
Yeah.
But that's predominantly what I've spent my time preparing and stuff. It's just I got to get onto it. But I ran into a major hassle with DeVry and money I had earmarked for building the cabinet and for the arcade game I bought for my wife's suddenly vanished out of my account because DeVry failed to follow federal law and the fact that they were paid in full by a consolidation check for my loan consolidation, mm-hmm. and proceeded to continue to do an e-check payment after they had been paid in full, and then expected me to wait till way, way long after they took the money out of my account before paying me back, refunding me the money. They wanted to hold on to it for like 3 months. And I went to my bank and I said,
no. How do I put this elegantly? No.
No. And my bank, being the awesome bank that they are a credit union, said, we'll take care of it.
It's my bank.
So, yeah. Monday, but it was Thursday before last, they screwed me. Mm-hmm. I screwed me. Monday, my money is back and I can do what I wanted with it.
That's so, good.
In 8 days, or eight business days, or 7 business days,
mm-hmm.
it was back. And DeVry wanted me to wait 90. So, yeah.
Yeah. No.
No.
No. Beth is going into changing grad school programs. We're making a few changes here and there. I'm actually starting some online graduate classes. To get a graduate in a master's in liberal arts because I would like to teach some film courses. Would be nice.
That'd be cool.
So that would make me a very happy person. So that's on the horizon, for the next probably about 2 years, year and a half, 2 years.
I wish you the best of luck with that. I'm never going to get a master's. I'll be content with my bachelor's.
Do what you want.
Well, it's not that I probably could do it. It's just, I'm so tired.
No, I understand.
And I can't find work in my field anyways. So,
mm-hmm.
What's the point in having a master's in information technology?
I enjoy my job, but there are things that I would like to do that don't involve real estate foreclosures. So so yeah, there is that. But you know we got all that going on. Gosh. Catching up on the last probably about 3 months, I think. The last episode we put out was
early October, wasn't it? No, September, because
very early September. Because it was September 5th was the last episode we
because
posted.
Aria was born
about a week later. Yeah. And we were on a fairly regular recording schedule, and then that happened, and that really has thrown a lot of craziness into it. We do have a new site banner, which I'm very happy with,
awesome.
With art by, Sarah Rude, which is great.
Yeah. She makes me look really skinny. Makes me feel good.
Actually, I think yours is the most, looks the most like you, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Looks the most like any of us. Mine is close, but yours is.
Except I'm not as bald in her drawing as I am in real.
It's the comic book version of yourself.
Yeah. But it's fairly accurate.
Yeah,
we did have to go through several versions because she sent me the first revision, and the first thing out of my mouth was, one, I'm not fat enough. Two, my arms are way too muscular.
We're like, dude, it's the comic book version of you. You have to be stupid muscular, have a body that couldn't really exist in real life, and you have to be like on fire.
Who's on fire?
I am.
Everybody's on fire.
Well, I was
outside of Pelos.
I was burning.
Okay then.
I was burning an unnamed role-playing game book.
Yes.
Okay.
We're talking about the new banner art. You can't see that I'm burning the book, but if you look at the full picture, I'm burning certain books that shall not be named.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's been 2 months since we had an episode. We wanted to get something out. I can't even believe it's just been 2 months thinking about it. It's been so much has happened. But then also time has flown. My baby has gone from for people's information, my baby was born on September 11th. She came into this world at 18 and a half inches and was 7 pounds 6 ounces.
Healthy. Very healthy.
I think that's right. Anyway, she's now just breaking 10 pounds. So, I mean, she's healthy. She's awesome. She's good.
Gaining weight. She's gaining
weight.
She's what, 20 inches now, right?
Well, her next, it's been almost a month since her last appointment. So, but yeah, we did have an appointment that we had to go into last week, but she was, Oh gosh, I think she was past just at about at 10 inches or just past there. So she's grown like a weed. Oh yeah, 20 and 10 inches. She's always past 10 inches. Now she's grown like a weed. Doing good. She's good and healthy.
She's a very quiet baby.
Yes. Apparently, we are very lucky. So you know, apparently though, I was quiet, but I was also mischievous. So you know, there's a whole. Mother left the kitchen for a short time. When I was about a year and a half or two, and I climbed to the top of the refrigerator to eat some cookies. And when she came back in. I was sitting on the edge of the refrigerator with the cookie jar in my lap and went, "Cookie, mommy." See, I look at it as I was being polite. My mother was obviously busy. I got a cookie, and then I offered one to her. She apparently didn't
see that way.
Yeah. She was rather perturbed by the whole thing. But oh well. But several of our friends are now out at Power Play, actually getting in some of their own arcade fun.
Yeah, they went to the competition. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, that's true. Nathan networks for a competition at Power Play.
Yeah, I work at a local arcade. I cannot tell you the name.
Yes, it may or may not be an arcade.
No, I can say it's an arcade, but I cannot tell you where I work at.
Planet Earth.
I cannot tell you what the name of it is, and I we're not allowed to do any sort of promotion for it outside of the actual official website. So
that's fine.
As much as I would love to find a job that pays me more right now, this is a job I have.
It's a job,
and I'm not going to lose it by doing something stupid.
Yes,
and it is a great job. I am so unstressed that I've literally, since working there, I've been there about, it had been 3 months, October 26th.
Mm-hmm.
In the 3 months I've worked there, I've lost 17 pounds. And I'm not getting to exercise every day like I used to. I don't get to, you know, I don't get to do all the stuff I was doing when I was shedding weight. Just by the fact of the merit
that I'm
de-stressed. I am de-stressed.
That's good.
I'm not hungry all the time. I'm not depressed. So it's like I've just been shedding weight like
good,
like I should be. And so as of this time last year, I weighed almost 300 pounds. As of this time this year, I weigh a little bit over 240. So I've lost almost 60 pounds now. And that's a little over 240 with my clothes on and shoes on.
Please keep your clothes on. Yeah. We don't want to repeat of last time.
There's a distinct probability I weigh under 240 with, you know, without clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, face it, clothes add a decent amount of weight. It's kind of shocking when you find out how much your shoes and your pants weigh. What? But, no, I'm still exercising. I'm trying desperately to lose weight. I'd like to get back down to, you know, how I was when we first started the show, which was about 190, which would be great. For those of you who don't know, Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition comes out November 15th, so the end of next week, next Friday.
Sweet.
So, yes, PC version, there'll be an iOS version, and a Mac version, of course, and an Android version at some point in time. So, yes, we will be seeing Baldur's Gate 2, and it's the complete one. It's got Throne of Baal and Shadows of Baal. So...
that'll be a fun one.
And because they still have the art assets for it, apparently they've gone back and vamped the art assets a bunch, and they've made a bunch of new zones.
Cool.
So, unlike the first one where they had lost all the art assets, apparently they still had some of them for this one.
Okay.
Well, they lost all the art assets, which is why the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition didn't look really any different.
It's still fun. It's good.
It's a fantastic game, but I tell you what, they ratcheted down the difficulty a lot by its default difficulty.
Yeah, you got to go in, and if you want to make it harder, you got to actively make it harder.
Yeah, because I went into an area and I was dreading it. Also, the friendly arm, and it's the first time you have like a real serious battle, and it's with a magic user. And in the original one, that guy just stomped all over me, like every time. I had to get lucky to beat him, and so I was avoiding it. I was going everywhere else, and I accidentally activated him, and he came up, and I squashed him in the first swing.
Yeah, they really made it.
They made it much easier.
But, you know, you can turn it up, so...
yeah, that's the next thing I did. I was like, let's see. Let's crank the difficulty up now, because this is easy.
But I also remember how hard that game was.
Oh, my God,
I mean,
yes.
You could lose all your guys just...
and there was a trap in the mines that you go to investigate the bad iron, and this one trap, it petrifies everybody
in
the party.
I know in Baldur's Gate 2, there's a couple of permanent death traps.
Yeah.
They have max pain for your... Yeah. I would not play it on here because...
Well, God, no.
You do notice that it actually supports controllers, right?
I did not notice that.
Look down
really
at the bottom. Actually, if you look at most of the games, they'll tell you whether they support different controllers. Like, here's the Baldur's Gate, the Bard's Tale game. Native controller support, native gamepad support, Wii Classic controller, native or with free Wiimote controller app, Xbox 360 and Logitech F310s, 510, 710, and X mode. And there's like eight more. So the thing is, if you look at the games that you look at and go, God, I would never play that with a touchscreen, 90% of the time, they also have controller support. You can get Bluetooth controllers for your tablet.
Huh.
And they're actually, most of them are pretty good. The one that I've played around with the most is the MOGA, and the MOGA is kind of cool. I have not played with the Nyko. It's a little tiny. And, of course, if you've ever played the Xbox 360 or the PS3, those controllers do work.
Well, while we were talking, I used some of my discount, and I purchased Starkman, Talisman Prologue, Dungeon Village.
Starkman?
Yep.
What's that one?
A space game.
Starkman. Oh, it's this one. Oh, this one is supposed to be crazy hard.
And another one. I don't remember what the other one was.
I'm excited for something that it's not out yet, but I don't know if I talked about it. I don't know if anybody remembers an old computer game called, an adventure game called The Neverhood, which was like a claymation adventure game. Had very, very weird music. It was released by DreamWorks, the DreamWorks computer company. Well, the people that made that game created a new studio called Pencil Test Studios, and they have successfully funded Armor Krog, which is a game set basically in the same type of setup. I don't think it has anything to do with the original one, The Neverhood.
Sorry.
It's okay. I don't think it has anything to do with The Neverhood. Wrong way.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with The Neverhood, but the main character is voiced by Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Traps. So... it sounds interesting to me, and like I said earlier, Abduction by Cyan Games, or Cyan Incorporated, they are actually, their Kickstarter's still going for the next 7 days. They've got a little ways to go, so I think they'll make it. I hope they'll make it. But, what was the other one you bought?
Adventure, what is this? Let me go back.
Adventure what?
Oh, Dungeon Village.
Dungeon Village.
Mm-hmm. Dungeon Village, Talisman Prologue,
oh,
Starkman.
Dungeon Village. Yeah, this is done by Kairosoft.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are so many games worth looking at on here. It's almost impossible to find them all. Because they're hidden.
What are you looking at?
These are
Android games.
These are Play Store.
Oh yeah.
But I did go ahead.
There's some random stuff.
Did you see they have all the original early Final Fantasy games?
Yeah, actually, the one I would almost pick up, but it's $10, and it says it might not work on the new Android. They have Chrono Trigger. Sorry.
Yeah.
But they even said on there it may not work for the newer one, and I was like, I would play Chrono Trigger. Totally would play it.
Yeah, they've got Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy. They have Final Fantasy through Final Fantasy V. And I think they're supposedly they're going to be doing Final Fantasy VI at some point in time. Otherwise known as Final Fantasy III to all of us Americans.
Yeah.
If they weren't $20 a piece, or if they weren't basically... Yeah, they're $16 a piece, except for Final Fantasy I, which is $7, and Chrono Trigger, which is $10. I would probably buy all of them, but I'm not... I mean, $16... Don't get me wrong. Final Fantasy III, Final Fantasy IV, and Final Fantasy V are good games. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
but $16 for games that I already own,
yeah,
you know, imports of.
I'm just too tired.
Okay.
I take it my wife's heading out too. Okay.
We'll be wrapping up here shortly anyway. So.
Yeah, if you want to wait a few.
Like 5 minutes.
5 minutes or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're in the wrap up phase.
I would buy them, too expensive. I already own them, like an actual physical format. I have, you know, 4 and 5 on a, or is it 5 and 6? I have 5 and 6 on the PlayStation collection, and there's the anthology which had 1 and 2 that I picked up for like $8 for the PlayStation. So it's like, I can't justify spending another $20 on each one of them to buy them again.
Yeah.
Well, don't get me wrong, the graphics are enhanced and so on, so blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's one of those things.
Still, it's on your tablet. But Chrono Trigger, I would buy, except for that whole thing, they're not sure it will run. And they said they're working on it, but...
Yeah. But it's actually like this. That's the PlayStation version.
I know.
So it's...
Still, I would potentially buy it for a tablet.
Well, if you actually look, all of the earlier ones are like that tablet, too. Final Fantasy 1 through 3 all state the same thing.
Right.
Apologize, but it may not perform as intended. So...
I'm not as big out on the Final Fantasies. I don't care as much about them.
So. She's pushing me away from the table.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to get together and get an episode out just to let our wonderful listeners know that we're still here.
We're still alive.
We're still alive. The universe has kept us busy. So, you know, real life happens as we grow older and grow somewhat wiser. So.
Yeah.
But we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode, and we will keep on trucking. So,
yep.
Thanks for listening.
In a world where it's only available for download on GamersHavenPodcast.com.
It is 1935, but the history is not our own. The Civil War has simmered down from a hot war into a cold one, and the world is in the greatest economic depression it has ever seen. Amidst all this, New Orleans sits corrupt and full of secrets. Can young Carlyle and his companions stay out of the way of the Texas Rangers, Hexaco, Hellstrom Industries, the Red Sect, and the Black Hand? Or will they be just a few more bodies on the trail to uncovering the Book Wars Legacy? The Book Wars Legacy is a Deadlands Noir campaign presented by the Gamers Haven Podcast, featuring Gamers Haven regulars Eric and Eunice, and introducing Tyler, Aaron, Liz, Bill, and Amanda.
The Gamers Haven Podcast at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.